Hello, everybody, and welcome to the VR2 on SI podcast. I'm your host, Jack Foster, joined by VR2 on SI writer Jake Nichols, as always. Today, we are recapping Tennessee-Alabama from last Saturday and kind of talking goals Tennessee should have for themselves going into the bye week. Everybody, we are coming at you on a Friday, getting colder by the week, and sometimes I like it, but sometimes not. Jake, how you doing this morning, my man? Been watching any scary movies? Halloween's only 2 days away.
I have not been really watching any scary movies. I'm not a big scary movie buff. More Halloween Town and, you know, Hocus Pocus, kind of the more lighthearted ones. I can't watch too many scary movies or I won't sleep at night.
Okay, I got you. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Snickers, probably. No, I take it back. It's a tie between Reese's and Snickers.
Okay, I can get down with that. Any candy corn or no?
I got to be in the mood for it.
I understand that. Well, you know what I'm always in the mood for, Jake?
Active Travel Company.
Absolutely. Because everybody, if you're looking to book travel at any time during the year, Halloween, whatever holiday, and don't want to do all the work, contact our friends Beth and Bryce at Acker Travel Company so that they can do all the work for you. If you book with them, they'll even throw in a $50 Visa gift card. I mean, 50 free bucks. What is there to lose? Go ahead and give them a call now or visit their website at backer.dreamvacations.com to find that dream vacation you need. All right, Jake, so let's get into it. Tennessee, Alabama last Saturday for like 47 minutes. This was a razor-thin ball game, but it eventually ended 52-24. Looks like a blowout, but definitely wasn't. A lot of positives to take away for the Vols, but you know, Alabama just ended up burying them in the fourth quarter, scoring 28 points, the most under Saban. So Jake, let's start with the offense. You know, we saw some deep shots, the long Javonte Payton touchdown, the answer with Tillman at the very beginning of the fourth quarter, the last touchdown Tennessee had. So just with this Tennessee offense, what did you think of their performance in Tuscaloosa last Saturday?
Obviously there's a lot to improve on with the running game. They rushed for under 70 yards on 26 carries total. So obviously a very low point for those guys against a really good Alabama defensive line, but you hit on it perfectly. The receiving core was fantastic. Obviously, like you said, Cedric Tillman had a breakout game and he was really clutch down the stretch whenever Tennessee needed him to make some big plays. Obviously you saw Hendon Hooker get the ball to Javonte Payton again early on that score. And then Velus Jones as well. Saw Jalin Hyatt being worked back into the mix a little more than we've seen lately. So, yeah, I think this was another strong performance from Tennessee's passing attack and just shows what Hendon Hooker can do and how dynamic it can be he can be so long as he's fully healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Tillman's big game. He was 7 for 152 and the score early in the fourth. It was a 70-yard touchdown, a great answer from Tennessee to keep them in the ballgame at the moment. But Jake, I want to ask you, you know, Tennessee was pretty bad rushing the ball, 7 for 30 from Tyon. I mean, they didn't rush it a lot, partially because of game script, partially because that's what they weren't seeing with Alabama. It wasn't going to work. Do you think, so obviously it was a great passing performance, trying to figure out a way to word this question, but which aspect of Tennessee's offense gives them a higher upside, if that makes sense? An electric passing game or a dominant rushing game? Which gives them a higher upside?
I feel like the rushing game, just because we've seen what Tyon Evans can do against, you know, mediocre to poor defenses. And obviously that, I think, can allow you to spread the field a little more in the passing game because teams stack the box more. But I think that, you know, for them to have the most success, you want to have both firing on all cylinders. Yeah, and we've seen that in a couple games this season, but, you know, haven't seen that, I think, to quite the extent that Josh Heupel would want as far as having, you know, both of those aspects working well. So I feel like the rushing attack still is the base that you should have and the base that they want to have for this offense because, you know, Josh Heupel has said it since he's been hired that, you know, people think of this offense as being purely kind of an air raid or, you know, going through the passing attack, but it's predicated a lot on the run game too. And so I think for the most amount of success or the greatest potential reached under this offense that you have to have a good rushing attack But like I said, it was good to see them air it out so much last Saturday and have that success.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Hendon Hooker on the ground as well, only 12 for 26, kind of a down day for him as Alabama did well, containing Hendo Cinco with his legs. And Jake, Jabari Small had 4 catches for 40 yards, was more involved early, not so much later. But what did you think of, you know, Small getting involved in the passing game like that?
Yeah, I thought it was really good to see, given that, you know, we've seen more of Tyon Evans in that respect lately. And it was good to see Small get worked in just for the fact of showing that he can and showing that he's dynamic in that facet of his game. And, you know, it goes back to what Jerry Mack has mentioned time and time again about that unit, that, you know, they can do all three things. They can block, they can run, they can catch out of the backfield. And so I think that it was good to show that he can do that and can be used in a different weapon in that way.
Yeah, 100%. And this was the highest total through the air for Hendon Hooker all season. I think dating back to just a couple of years ago at Virginia Tech, it's the highest total for any game for Hooker with 282 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and the pick. Tennessee was up 14-7 at the end of the first quarter. Jake, did you know that's the first time Alabama has trailed by 7 or more points after the first quarter at home since 2012?
I did not know that, Jack. That's a fantastic stat. I thought you were going to bring up what we had talked about before, that it was Tennessee's, you know, first lead in Tuscaloosa since 2015, but that is a fantastic stat since 2012. That's crazy.
Yeah, the lead stat's great. There's a lot of crazy stats. I mean, we can get into the, you know, 28 points in the fourth quarter being the most under Saban. Tennessee putting up 21-plus for the first time against the Tide since 2003. That's my favorite.
And I think I'm not sure if that's more of a praise for Josh Heupel's team or a detriment to Tennessee in the past, but it's
probably both. Yeah, it's probably both. All right, let's move to the Tennessee defense here. Bryce Young was a little limited in the first half. Tennessee did a good job containing him, but then absolutely just torched the Vols in the second half. Finished the day with 31 of 43 for 371 yards and 2 touchdowns. John Metchie, 11 for 121 and 2. Jamison Williams, 6 for 123. Had some drops. He could have had a bigger day. But what do you think of this Tennessee secondary job in containing Alabama? I know they're tough, but just what do you think of their performance?
Yeah, I thought overall they still did a decent job. And, you know, near the end, you could tell how worn down they were. And, you know, Alabama, I think, had around 40 more snaps than Tennessee, or I believe 33 more offensively than the Vols did. And so obviously keeping that defense on the field for a long time wore these guys down. But you know, I thought that given the circumstances that they played pretty well, but like you said about Young, he was just dynamic. I think that the first rung that you want to go into as far as working on something in the off week is the fact that Bryce Young was so dynamic on third down. There was the first scoring drive that Alabama had in this game that he converted 3 straight third downs and just kept doing it throughout the game. Alabama ends up converting 15 of 20 on third down, yeah, while Tennessee just 2 of 13. So, you know, I think that's kind of your first point to work on this week as far as getting off the field. But like I said, they did better than expected, better than expected, I think, but still struggled late whenever Alabama really got going.
Yeah, and I was honestly impressed with their ability to contain Brian Robinson. We've seen him blow up the last couple of weeks. Coming into the season, he wasn't like a huge piece for this Alabama offense, but he has really grown into that. Mm-hmm. But only 26 for 107, had the 3 touchdowns, but that's just through attrition and where the ball was. It's not like he broke one. His long was 15 yards. So, you know, averaging 4 yards a carry, the Vols did a pretty good job handling them, but they didn't do a good job of handling Bryce Young's wheels. I mean, he come into this game with negative 2 rushing yards on the season, then put up 42 against the Vols. Also had 0 rushing touchdowns and had 2. So just another week of Tennessee not really doing a great job of containing the quarterback's rushing ability. And I don't know how many more quarterbacks they're going to get with the capabilities Matt Corral had, Bryce Young had. But it's definitely something to, you know, have in the back of your head if you're Tennessee going into the bye week.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, going off that, people have referred to it a couple times this week, but the Vols have faced 3 Heisman contenders in Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, and Bryce Young. And for, you know, good reason, those guys are all in the conversation because Tennessee has struggled against all three of them in containing that run. And so I think, like you said, that is a point of concern going into this week and just going forward, even though the Vols won't have maybe quite as much in terms of a dual threat guy going into the last few weeks of this season.
Yeah, and just looking at it from a, you know, neutral standpoint here, not talking about a game, how unlucky is Tennessee? You know, they're 4-4, but I don't feel that their record really justifies how they've played so far.
I don't think so. I mean, you know, it's definitely more of a positive 4-4 than any other, I think, 500 team across the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, just looking at the way they've played, I mean, they had, you know, they lost to Pitt by a touchdown. They lost to Ole Miss by a touchdown. They had Alabama on the ropes late. There are three winnable games against three very good teams, and you could be sitting at 7-1. But, you know, just a few mistakes down the stretch. And, you know, like I wrote in that column and like a lot of other people have observed, a lack of depth, too, is what has done this team in.
Yeah, injuries can plague your season. But, you know, you mentioned the Pitt game. The Hendon Hooker came in at halftime, basically. So give Hooker a whole game. Maybe they win. The Ole Miss, There were so many storylines, you know, we talked about in the recap pod there with the plays, the calls. Could have gone a different way. And then this one, obviously, going into Tuscaloosa, going into Gainesville earlier in the season, it's just really hard to win those for any team. So, but yeah. All right, last thing with this game here, Jake. I'm going to give you four stats, and I want you to tell me which one was most significant in determining the game, okay?
Okay.
All right, Alabama, 203 rushing yards, Tennessee, 64. Alabama, 4 penalties for 30 yards, Tennessee, 12 for 98. Alabama, 33 first downs, Tennessee, 10. Or Alabama, 92 total plays, Tennessee, 54.
I feel like the last three kind of group together. I feel like I can't really decide between those just because it seemed like, as far as penalties, Tennessee had, you know, so many drives going and then they just stalled out. And especially with that Jameson Williams fumble, you know, you get the ball back, and even though you're in the shadow of your own end zone, you feel like they've got a chance to drive down and score. Instead, two straight penalties set them back, and they end up punting away a perfectly good chance to tie the game up. And then the next one, I'm sorry, the
first downs. First step. Yeah, first downs, 33-10.
I had not looked at the comparison to that extent, but wow, that I think that really tells another story too. Like I said, that Tennessee just could not get off the field on third down, and it tells you how easily Alabama moved the ball, right, whenever they really needed to.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you can throw, you mentioned it earlier, which is why I didn't mention it here, but the third downs, 15 of 20 for Bama, 2 of 13 for Tennessee, that probably clumps in with the first downs. So yeah, to me, that's the biggest storyline, is just, like you said, not being able to get off the field on defense, Alabama just getting the yardage needed anytime they needed to. So yep, 52-24 loss. Tennessee's 4-4, moving into the bye week with Kentucky up next after the bye week. Obviously, this Saturday, no game. So, Jake, what is one big thing, let's start with, on offense that Tennessee needs to focus on during this open week?
I think you need to focus on the rushing attack and just making sure that the guys stay confident, because Alabama's defensive line is really good, and it looked like they just kind of had an off day. And, you know, aside from that, you look at the offensive line, obviously, you know, I know we talked about it before we started taping, but, you know, the main issue across that unit is getting guys healthy, but also just understanding what Heupel has continued to reference, the next man up mentality, that, you know, whoever's in, that you still have to be able to grind out those yards, because as we saw against Alabama, without a rushing attack, then you're very one-dimensional, and they know exactly what's going to happen, and, you know, it's about over from there.
Right. Yeah, definitely, my man. And Tyon Evans, just when he's explosive, it brings a whole other aspect to this Tennessee offense, and it really makes it unstoppable as long as, you know, Hooker's clicking and is healthy. So He came to the press conference this week and he looked pretty good. So I feel confident in Hooker's ability to be 100% going into Lexington. All right. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, just going off that, you know, they talked about it some after the game, but I felt like we should just note, even on this pod, you know, Hooker's toughness, because coming into that game, he mentioned that, you know, he didn't have to play against Alabama and, you know, Josh Heupel could have sat him out. But I think that points to the belief that Heupel has in this team to win, but also that Hooker is a competitive guy and he wants to get out there, even if he's been banged up, even if he's been struggling. And, you know, it shows how much fire and love he has for this team. And I think that really points to a positive sign that Tennessee has under center, that, you know, even in a rivalry game that Hooker could have, you know, just waited until the Kentucky game to come back, that he wanted to be out there and wouldn't let his teammates go out there to fight by themselves. And, you know, they talked about that, like I said, in the post-game presser. But I felt like we shouldn't end this without talking about just the toughness that he showed against Alabama and coming out and really fighting the way he did.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, how underrated would you say Hendon Hooker is in, you know, the college football world?
Right now, as far as like 10 being the most underrated?
Yeah.
I'd say a 6 or 7 at least, because right now – you know, Pro Football Focus released a stat that his efficiency, I believe, is the greatest in college football right now.
Yep.
And, you know, everyone is talking about Matt Corral, Kenny Pickett, Bryce Young. Again, three quarterbacks that Tennessee has faced this season, three Heisman contenders, and no one is talking about Hendon Hooker. And, you know, we've seen guys kind of come on strong before with a breakout season like Johnny Manziel or Lamar Jackson and, you know, have those Heisman campaigns. And no one is talking about the season that Hooker is having. He has just been fantastic. And meanwhile, the only thing people can, at least nationally, seem to get out of their mouths is how great Matt Corral has been, how good Kenny Pickett is at, you know, dodging tackles, and how successful Bryce Young has been. And, you know, that's not to take anything away from those guys. They've been fantastic, but it seems like Hooker is not getting nearly the respect that he has earned right now in the way he's played, because people are just overlooking him given the kind of the track of the way this Tennessee team is coming back and the fact that they aren't, you know, supposedly one of like the national picks to do great this season.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny his season. He passes the eye test, you know, and I feel confident in Tennessee's ability to go into Lexington and win. But that's for another pod. We'll get into that later next week. But all right, let's talk about Tennessee's defense going into the open week. What is one big thing they have to focus on?
I think the biggest thing there is, you know, I've harped on it again and again throughout this pod and everything, but just getting off the field on third down and making sure that that you get contained. You know, you're not going to face any quarterback this season that's as good as the three that you've already gone against. And so I think that should bring a little bit of relief. But like I said, the main objective, just getting off the field on third down, because we could see late how much that impacted this defense and how much they struggled whenever they really got tired late in that fourth quarter and how Alabama took advantage. And so I think that's a big key this week going against Will Levis and the rest of that Kentucky offense, which, while not great, can still prove a problem.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, let's talk about the special teams for a second. Deshaun Rucker blocking that punt in the third quarter, and Tennessee not taking advantage of with a touchdown, but got a field goal. It was a great moment in the game for Rucker, especially. What do you think that did for this unit's confidence, the special teams unit's confidence going into the bye week after a frankly bad game the week before?
I think it has to make you really excited for where they're going right now. And it has to give Mike Eckler a lot of juice, certainly, or, you know, maybe more than he usually has.
Yeah.
For the way that this unit is playing, because it seems like they're really gelling and able to generate a lot of positivity. You know, people don't think about special teams a lot in terms of those game-changing plays, and that's exactly what DeShone Rucker, well, almost provided. But yeah, he's the second freshman this year to be able to block a punt. And I think that aside from just the fact that, you know, Tennessee's had two blocked punts this year, that also that it's young guys that are getting the job done, that paints a picture of guys that are, you know, getting those reps where they're able to and can work their way into this secondary maybe pretty quickly. So I think that's obviously a positive and, you know, something to build on going forward and should generate a lot of excitement that, you know, it's two freshmen that have generated that much positivity for Tennessee's special teams unit.
Absolutely. And I want to throw in on Wednesday's press conference, they had DeShone Rucker available to the media. And, you know, we asked him about the blocked punt. And he said, when I knew my name was going to get called, I was the guy to, you know, be put in that position to go for it. I just lit up. And it you could tell it on his face. He just knew it was coming and he executed. So, yeah, he and Christian Charles blocking punts this year, both freshmen. That's something you can look on at the end of the season and be like, hey, two freshmen blocked a punt. You know, that's kind of cool. It's just a cool little stat. But yeah, Jake, so got any plans for Halloween weekend?
Not many outside of, you know, maybe trying to find any trees outside your dorm to roll, but that's about it.
I ain't going to be here, man. You're going to have to come to Paris.
Okay, I'm not driving that far. Never mind.
Yeah, I was about to say, you ain't driving that far.
No. I was going to say, can you roll the Eiffel Tower is my question.
Man, I don't know if I've ever seen that done, but that is a genius idea.
Well, you're welcome in advance.
I'm very surprised. It might have been done in my lifetime. I just haven't seen it, but I'm surprised I haven't seen it or heard anything about that. That would be funny in Paris for sure. Everybody, I live in Paris, Tennessee. It's a very small town, and Jake makes fun of me all the time. But you know, I digress. Jake, you're from the 731 too, so you can't hate that much.
You're right. I can't. But well, I will say, You can make fun of me for the amount of chain restaurants in Jackson. It's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. Hey, some of them are good, though. Cheddar's, Longhorn, they slap. Everybody, that will do it for this episode of the VR2 on SI Podcast. I'm Jack Foster, and Jake Nichols joining me today. As always, follow him at jnichols_2121. You can also follow VR2 on SI at VR2 on SI, and give your host a follow while you're at it at Jack Foster TV. Jake and I will be coming on very soon within the next week to talk some Tennessee basketball, kind of previewing the season and recapping the exhibition the men's team has with Lenora Ryan on Saturday. It's right around the corner. So Jake and I are going to be have you covered all season. Everybody, thank you so much for listening and allowing Jake and I to do what we love week in and week out, and that's to talk Tennessee sports. For Jake Nichols, I'm Jack Foster as always, and we will talk to all of you wonderful people next time.